It is great to be here with you today, and I just love, you know, I've been watching you guys as we've been worshipping, and the joy of the Lord that's in this place is amazing, and I think it's in large part to the unchanging, undeniable joy of the Lord that is resident in your pastors, Tim and Kelly. Right? Have you noticed the zeal, the energy of this guy? These, you know, I was reminded of, and I just want to encourage you something. You know, there's this Allstate commercial, you're in good hands. You're in good hands with them. Let me tell you. You're in good hands. Really. So let me cut to the chase here. I've got to look at the clock and stuff like that. So I want to speak with you about worship. Being a musician, and Tim, you're absolutely right. That's what God created me for. I come from five generations of musicians in my family on my father's side. And so I was born into music. It's all I ever wanted to do. It's all I ever have done. And God has blessed me with it. But coming to Jesus, he just told me one day, I want you to play your guitar now for me the way that you play it. And I thought, are you serious? Can you do that in church? Are you sure? Do you know what you're talking about? Yes, I want you, you know. And so that's what I started doing at Pasadena Foursquare, and it's just been amazing ever since. But I want to talk about worship. I want to talk about what is worship. But first, I want to give you a prophetic word that God gave to me just the other day. And it's interesting to me, you're talking about this lady, Beverly, who had a vision. So I have no idea what that was. So we'll see if it lines up. And who knows, you know, but I already know that the wind is already blowing in here. So how many are thankful for the presence of Jesus in here right now? Amen. Amen. So I was talking with Tim on the phone the other day, and he asked me what I was going to be preaching about, and I had an idea. And as soon as I put the phone down from Tim, the Lord said, no, and started to give me a word. It began with these three words. And by the way, just if you're interested in this, you know, I'll give the pastors a copy, and it can be made available. But you might want to write these down. The wind, thirst, and the well. The wind, thirst, and the well. And God is saying a fresh wind of the Spirit of God is blowing across Santa Maria. I loved it when the town crier who heralded the Christmas thing with the red shirt said these words, the kingdom of Santa Maria. Did you hear that? That caught my prophetic antenna right there. I thought, okay, this is we're on target here. The kingdom of Santa Maria as authorized by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. A fresh wind of the Spirit of God is blowing across Santa Maria. Prayers from long ago are going to be answered in a powerful way. There will be many people coming to Jesus in this region. People are thirsty for the righteousness and presence of God. Over the years, much has been sown and much has been discarded. But, says the Lord, I have not forgotten that which was sown in righteousness, and they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Amen. The well represents my never-ending supply of the living water of the Word of God. Just as with the Samaritan woman, it is to this well that I am calling you to drink deeply. It is from this well that you can taste and see that I am good. It is from this well that your worship of me takes on a fresh anointing to tear down enemy strongholds and enlarge my kingdom in your hearts and in this community. Draw near to me with thanksgiving and praise, and let me change your world. This is my work that I love to do, says the Lord, your Redeemer. Amen. Amen. If you receive that, give him praise. Oh, boy. So I want to talk about what is worship. Have you ever thought about, and I want to say first impressions are everything, right? First impressions mean a lot. And so have you ever thought about if a person came into this room this morning while Kaylin was leading us in this wonderful worship and people have got their hands raised and their eyes closed and they're singing, what would that person think about? What are we doing? Because we kind of take it for granted. We show up every Sunday and here we go, you know. But what about somebody that doesn't have a clue? Let me share my own personal experience. Back in 1982, when a friend of mine took me to Church on the Way, and during the worship time, they started singing this very, very simple song called In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified, Bob Kilpatrick. Be glorified today. And it just kept repeating round and round and round, you know. But there was something odd about this song because it seemed like this word today, be glorified today, it kept louder and louder. It was be glorified today, be glorified today, you know. And I'm thinking, what is the deal with this song? What's going on here? And then I look around, and this is in Church on the Way, there's like 1,500 people there. And just like you guys this morning, hands are going up over here and hands are going up over here. And I'm thinking, where has my friend taken me to? What's going on, you know? And then I had an epiphany and I thought, oh, I know what they're doing. They're playing some kind of spiritual basketball. And maybe somebody over here is throwing the ball, and maybe somebody over here is trying to catch the ball, and if somebody can just tell me what the score is, I can go home and get well. That was my first impression as an unbeliever of what worship is. Interesting, huh? Spiritual basketball. I don't know if there's a kingdom, you know, division for that, you know. But what is worship? So let me give you something here that's based on a whole bunch of reflection over the years that worship, because, and I think this is important for us in our culture today, because everything we hear about is based upon marketing and styles and trends. I worked for 5 years in our denomination's leadership as the National Worship Director. And my job was to go around, and I did. I traveled for 5 years to a ton of Foursquare churches here and all and in other countries to troubleshoot their issues with worship. We called it the worship wars. Oh, it was. I still bear the scars somewhere, you know. It was an education that money cannot buy, you know, and this kind of experience forces you into some deep reflection as to what are we doing and why are we doing it the way we do it, you know. So let me give this to you, submit this to your understanding, that worship is an act of faith based upon remembrance. It's nothing to do with styles. You know, pastors would ask me, well, tell me, what are the latest trends in worship? And I'd say, that's the wrong question. Worship is nothing to do with trends and styles, you know. It really isn't, you know. And even though we have, you know, some great, you know, worship artists out there with a signature kind of a style like Hillsong, Jesus Culture, it's nothing to do with that. It is essentially about... It is essentially an act of faith based upon remembrance. We lift our hands, we close our eyes, we're singing songs to somebody we cannot see. Yeah. We're playing spiritual basketball with somebody that's invisible. Amazing, huh? Yeah. That's worth some kind of secular certification, if you like. Yeah. So, remembrance... It's remembrance of what has been done for you and to you by the one to whom your worship is being offered. With that in mind, let's look at the Old Testament worship. I think we got some... there we go. The backbone of worship in the Old Testament is the remembrance of the covenant with Abraham and their deliverance from Egypt, beginning in Genesis 12, 15 and 17. That's the Abrahamic covenant, when God says, I'm going to make you a father of many nations, etc. And then Exodus 15 is actually the first worship song, the song of Moses, where they've just come out from, been delivered from, across the Red Sea, been delivered from Egypt. Miriam breaks out the tambourine and they start singing this song. And I don't have time to go into that, but if you study the lyrics of that song, it's fundamentally about two things: who God is and what he has done. Who God is and what he has done. It's profound. It's not about how we feel, how desperate we think we are, how hungry we think we are. We're worshiping a God who says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. And this act of remembrance that I just described to you from Genesis 12, from Abraham covenant, and then the Song of Moses is upheld throughout the entire Old Testament by both the prophets and the psalmists. They always refer back to it about how God delivered us from this, delivered us from Egypt and brought us on over. Let me direct your attention to now Psalm 143. I love this. This how we bring now remembrance. This gives an example of remembrance and its practical application to any negative situation. Psalm 143, and here's David, and he's not having a good day. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. And here's verse 3 and 4. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore, my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. This is a tremendous picture, basically, of depression. Yeah. How many here can identify with these words? Being persecuted? Feel like you've been crushed? Feels like everything is dark? Here's one. Can anybody here identify with being overwhelmed? Yeah, you can raise your hand if you want. Confession is good for the soul. It's okay, yeah. Overwhelmed. Can anybody here identify with the word distressed? See, it's common to all of us, you see. But look at David's solution to this dilemma. Next verse, I remember. I remember the days of old. You know what he didn't do? He told the Lord how he felt, but he didn't then continue in dumping all his issues on God and whining and complaining about it. He said, I remember the days of old. He's going back to Exodus. He's going back to the history of how God delivered his people. And he's even going back to his own personal days of his youth when he was a young boy, a shepherd boy, out in the fields guarding the sheep with his Old Testament prototype Fender Strat playing the blues to God as worship. That just messed up somebody's theology right there, but you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's kind of like when David was playing his instrument for Saul. Are you familiar with that story? And he cured Saul of his demons. You know, he's just playing some of the best anointed blues licks in town. You see, the The reason I say blues is because it's a it's a marginalized church music. If you've ever studied the blues, the whole idea behind the blues is that a person that has the blues is all depressed. When they hear somebody playing the blues, there's a transference goes on, and the end result is that the person who had the blues, once they've heard a great blues player, they end up not having the blues anymore because something's gone on the inside. It's the Spirit of God has gotten in there with the music. Are you with me? Oh, okay. If you can give me some, there we go. That's the shortened version. You'll get the rest later on tonight, maybe. Oh, boy. But he remembers the days of old. He said, I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. He's remembering back how God had his hand on his life back in the early days, and how God had never failed him, how God had always been with him through every trial and tribulation. Am I talking to anybody this morning? Have you experienced this is Jesus? This is the work he loves to do. And the end result of this, he says, I remember, I meditate. So he's turning it over in his mind. He says, I muse on the work of your hands. That word muse is where we get the word music from. And it means to now start to speak out aloud that which you are meditating upon. So for me, it's like, I thank you, Jesus. In 1982, I used to be a drug addict, but now I'm not anymore. You saved me and delivered me. See, that's the whole point about the gospel, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is when you come to Jesus, you used to be, but you're not anymore. You used to be, but you're not anymore. I used to be an alcoholic, but through Jesus, I'm not anymore. Am I talking to anybody this morning? I used to be, but I'm not anymore. So do you remember when you first received the mercy of God that changed your heart and your mind? Because that is the moment when you came out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, and you became a brand new creature in Christ. The old things passed away. All things become new. That is the foundation of your worship. Incredible remembrance. And oftentimes, so this puts something on us as Christians now, as believers. When we come to worship, we have to bring something to the table. And so often in our Christian culture, we come limping in the door with all of our baggage, and we expect some song that Kaylin's going to sing, or a word that Pastor Tim or Pastor Kelly is going to speak, and that's going to kind of fix us up and make it all better. And we forget that we have to bring something into the equation. And what we have to bring is our remembrance of his incredible mercy, because that's the foundation of our offering of worship. Yes. Let me continue on here. So let's look now then at New Testament worship. The foundation of New Testament worship is founded upon the same kind of remembrance, only now it's centered on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we find this, Luke 22, let's see, you've got two, there we go. Oh, there it is, it's up there as well. At the Last Supper. So here's the disciples gathered with Jesus. They've been walking with him for 3.5 years, watching Jesus do what only Jesus can do. And he's breaking bread and he says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Do this in remembrance of me. Wonder what kind of memories they had of him in the 3.5 years that they had walked with him. Boy. In Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, "By the mercies, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, that by the mercies of God you present yourselves a living sacrifice." By the mercies speaks of remembrance of what Jesus has done for us and to us. That's what that means, by the mercies. Revelation 12, verse 11, you're familiar with this verse. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony." The blood of the Lamb refers to who he is and what he has done for you. His sacrifice on the cross. We must always remember that. That's part of our remembrance, you see. "And the word of their testimony speaks of what he has done to you." So I remember what he did for me on the cross, and now I remember also what he has done to me upon my coming to him and asking him to be the Lord of my life. He'll do something to you. He will change your mind. He will change your mind. I love seeing people get baptized. Because that's when I got baptized, that's when my mind got changed. I love preaching on baptisms. When we were on staff at Pasadena Foursquare, I used to teach the baptism class. It means so much to me because it was in the moment of baptism that I went in the water, an 18-year drug addict, a complete and utter mess, and came out brand new, filled with the Holy Spirit. My mind changed. Oh yeah. This is no joke. I used to teach the baptism class and teach all this stuff, and people would get saved in the baptism class before they got in the water. Yeah, because I used to teach about it's your own personal exodus, it's your own personal crossing of the Red Sea. And can I encourage you, if you've been attending this church for any number of times, you've been a Christian, call yourself a Christian, but you've never been baptized, can I encourage you, just do what the man said. Do what the man said, you will not regret it. I don't know a person in shoe leather who one day says, "You know what, I wish I'd never gotten baptized. Oh, that was such a waste of time." It's just, no. So please, be encouraged. If you've never been baptized, get in there. It's not like any other water experience you've ever had. It's not like taking a shower or anything like that. That's all external. It's on the inside. Apostle Paul describes it as surgery that is made without hands. Oh, yeah, it's a real thing, goes on there. And my mind was completely changed. And I came up out of the water with a revelation that has never left me to this day. It's very simple, but very profound. And here it is. It's that God knew me and had accepted me as one of his own. Period. End of story. Can't add to it, can't take nothing away. Just keep walking in it. And he'll help you keep walking in it. That's the Jesus I know. Is this good news for you folks?
Yes.
Praise God. Oh, man, so much more to talk about. So little time. That means I have to invite myself back. Wasn't that smooth? But in all seriousness, I'm an evangelist at heart. I love to see people come to Jesus because he'll never fail you. He'll never let you down. You know, does that mean life is going to be rosy? No. There'll be troubles, but this time is different from when there's troubles before. This time when you get troubles, you got someone whose hand you can hold on to and he will see you through. He will see you through and he'll change you through it. So I'm going to ask, let's just bow our heads. I want to give opportunity. If you're here today, you say, you know, I've never come to terms with this. I've never asked Jesus to come into my life. I can tell you, the trailer that you saw is from a movie that's coming out next year. It's my autobiography. And, you know, I've been to the mount. I've been to the top. I know what the top's all about. I've earned all the money, done all the stuff, you know. They talk about been there and bought the T-shirt. I helped make the T-shirt, okay? And, you know, there is no, it's not, does not compare to the life, the peace, the hope of eternal life that only Jesus Christ can give to you. It's not about going to church. It's not about a denomination. It's about what's in your heart. And you know if it's dark in there and you need light. And if that's you today, you say, I need this Jesus you're talking about. I'm going to ask you, would you please raise your hand because I want to pray for you and let's get this settled today. God bless you. I see you. Yeah, I see you. Got it. I see you. Yes. Yeah, keep it up there. Yeah, God bless you. Praise God. Hands going up here all over the place. Father, I thank you for these hands. You know the details of their lives, Lord, and I thank you that you are visiting them today. And today they are saying yes to Jesus, yes to who he is, the Son of the living God, the Savior of the world, yes to what he has done. He has paid for their sins in full through his death on the cross, and he rose from the dead for them. Thank you, Lord. We're in agreement with that yes today. And so we say, welcome to the family of God. Salvation has come to your house today through faith in Jesus Christ. And if everybody's in agreement with that, would you just seal it with a radical amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Let's welcome these into the family of God today. Okay, I'm here.
I'll let you get your guitar. This is going to require some music. In fact, I don't think we can end that service without our worship team coming back. We have a little time. It's all good. I'd like our worship team to come and join Caleb on the stage.
Great.
As Caleb was going in to his message, he gave us a word. He gave us a word that was for us. We believe what Scripture tells us. We believe that there is a prophetic word that will come by the power of the Holy Spirit that can be for an individual, can just be for you. Or it can be for a group of people like us.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Oh, I should turn my mic.
Second song. Hope's Anthem. Oh, you, I like your voice. You can sing. You can sing with the team. And Caleb, I'm just going to ask that you would start us in that song musically. Okay. Hope's Anthem. But as you gave us this word, my mind was captured with one particular word. It was from the end of what you shared with us. Uh-huh. I have it here. And he was talking about the well, that unending supply that mm-hmm. God has for you and for me. And he said, it is from this well that your worship of me takes on a fresh anointing to tear down enemy strongholds and enlarge my kingdom in your hearts mm-hmm. and in this community. Mm-hmm. Two things there that captured me. One is that God wants to tear down what the enemy is trying to be building in your life and in our church's collective story. The enemy is always at work against you and me, is what God told us. Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. We know that that's true. We know that the enemy of our soul is at work against us. But it is from God's word, from that never-ending well, that he equips us for the tearing down of what the enemy is trying to build up. How many of you would like to see what the enemy is building in your life torn down?
Amen.
How many of you would like to see what the enemy has been attempting to do in your family, in your marriage, in your relationship with your kids, in your relationships at work, in your finances, at school? Whatever the enemy has been trying to do, God is greater than that. The second thing that from this well said, not only the tearing down of enemy strongholds, but the enlarging of God's kingdom work in our hearts Amen. And in our community. So not only will God tear down what the enemy has been building, he wants to enlarge something in our spirits today. He wants there to be an increase. Would you give him more space to work? Would you say, God, enlarge my heart to worship you. Enlarge my faith and my trust in you and in your promises. Jesus, we just want to consecrate this word and what you've been doing in us this morning. And so, Lord, we do it as we've even been instructed in these last moments to do it with worship. An act of faith that is done in remembrance of who you are
Amen.
And what you have done. And if you don't have a story, something to reflect back on and what God has done, then just look to the cross.
Amen.
Because that is the greatest thing that he has ever done, and he's done it for you. Not just for all of humanity, he did it for you. Hope. Let's turn our hope to him. Crank it up. Stand up. Get on your knees. Take a posture of worship as you would reflect and remember what he has done. And therefore, we have hope.